Welcome back to Beauty Marks Podcast. My name is Elizabeth Savillon, and thank you for joining us on another episode. Here, you will always find us talking about healing, community, and how to embrace your story. And if you haven't already, make sure to subscribe to this podcast and leave a review. All of that helps us to grow this podcast, as well as if you want to start your podcast, you can join us at Hi Hello Labs in downtown Orlando in this beautiful studio space. And I'm just very excited because I have a guest that she came with all the vibes, and we're pretty much twinning and matching today. But I feel like in this month that we're talking about womanhood, and a big kind of theme I felt was about like our body and like how we see ourselves, the challenges that we as women sometimes face with that. And so I have here a mental health counselor. She is a professional, but we're just going to have a girl chat today. And her name is JoJo Vanant. So welcome to Beauty Marks Podcast.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Very excited you got to do this and you said yes. Everyone has talked about you in a good way and has said, like, you need to have JoJo on because she has so much just knowledge, but also you have your own magazine that you just started last year. Can you share a little bit about that?
Yes. Yeah, so it launched November of last year. So okay. The fall edition. So we're doing just the different seasons, fall, winter. So we've had two.
Okay.
It's called Chasing Clarity, mm-hmm. and it's all things mental health, culture, and well-being. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of evolving into a lot of storytelling, mm-hmm. which I really like. The relationships edition was the very first one. Mm. Loved that one. We really took a deep dive into relationships. And this last one was all things relating to the body. So this was the body edition. Mm-hmm. And we just took different angles on that one.
Yeah, I love that because I feel like I know that that's a topic when it comes to like relationships is one thing, right? It's like, you know, teaching about healthy relationships and all of that. But I feel like a lot of the stuff like with self, I feel like stems in how we show up in relationships sometimes or like how we see ourselves. You've worked with couples. And so what is kind of like your area of interest when it comes to counseling?
You know, I find great passion in individuals just wanting to be a better version of themselves, whether that is, you know, the way they show up also in relationships, mm-hmm. but mainly figuring out where they want to be and where they're at. So I'll see people where that they're wanting to get back into relationships, mm-hmm. and just figuring out, okay, who was I before and who I am now and mm-hmm. what I don't want to bring into the next relationship. I love that yeah. stage in people's lives mm-hmm. where it's like, okay, so let's talk about this. So what are your fears?
Yeah.
Or they just went through a breakup and it's like, who am I now?
Mm-hmm.
I was so much a part of someone else. So
yeah,
I love going through those stages with people.
Yeah. And what made you like passionate about the work that you do?
You know, I always had good relationships with people. Mm-hmm. And it was a relationship where I felt like people could talk to me really easily. Mm-hmm. And growing up in the church, we always grew up, we always talked about like our purposes and our calling and things mm-hmm. like that. And people would always say, you know what, you should really be a counselor. Like mm-hmm. you're just so easy to talk to. Mm-hmm. And then the voice in the my dad's voice would come in my mind and say, no, you're gonna be a lawyer. Mm-hmm. You're gonna be a doctor because mm-hmm. he always says you're so argumentative. You could be a great attorney. And I'm like, but my heart is healing the broken soul. Mm-hmm. And I made a decision one day. I was actually pre-med and mm-hmm. I changed it. And I'm like, no, you need to go with mm-hmm. what you're good at, what you're called to do. And that is to help people wow. in their most vulnerable times.
I'm glad that you like followed that because sometimes in those years, I mean, first of all, it's a lot of pressure having to decide at 18 or 17, like, what are you going to do for the rest of your life? Mm-hmm. But then you have all these voices and all these people and opinions. And then it's like the money. It's like, what's going to make the most money? What's the most like career, like responsible thing? And it's just like that can sway you away. But then I feel like I have seen it in my life and in other lives that when you don't do what you're passionate about, you end up going back to that later on in life.
It's so true.
And you're like, I should have just stayed there. I should have just started there. So that's always something that I tell like young people that I'm like, just do the thing. If you want to do art, do art. If you want to do fashion or you want to do something that's like maybe not as like the careers that they push, it's like do that because you can end up continuing, well, first love it, but also you can, whatever is going to flow from that, like the finances, all of that, you know, will come from like what you enjoy doing.
Yeah. And if you do it with excellence, you do it well and yeah. you put your time and you know, it will flourish.
Yeah.
Just like with anything, if you put your energy towards the negative things, you know, what's going to come from that? Negativity.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
So I agree with that.
So we're talking today about your story. I know that everyone has a story, and we talk a lot about here about like embracing kind of the parts of you, the marks that have created who you are today. And kind of like when someone sees you, maybe they don't, they only see a perception, or they're like, you know, this is who JoJo is. So can you share a little bit about kind of like your journey of struggles that you've had with your own self-esteem, the way that you see yourself?
Oh, man. And it's interesting. It's so true. So people do meet me and they're just like, oh, you know, she has it all together and she's probably type A. And I do wish I was type A.
I am a type A.
I love type A's. I really bond so well because it's like I still have a, you know, strong work ethic, and I do really like to do things well. So type A's are like, okay, she likes to do things right.
Yeah.
And so I kind of like, hey, you know, we can take a little bit of a longer lunch today. You know what? If you were my coworker, you would know that. I'd be like, just a little longer, extra 5 minutes. We'll do it at the end of the day. We'll finish out, you know, strong at the end of the day. So it's kind of like I help relax a little bit, the type A.
Yeah.
And then the type A will be like, so it's been more than 5 minutes. We need to go. And I'm like, okay. So we work actually really well together. But so, yeah, so people see me and they're like, you know what? She's probably this certain way. And when I really do come from a place of my childhood, a very insecure place, it was some, my entire life, I was always the heavier child. And when I mean by heavier, I don't just mean like a couple extra pounds. Like, oh, her, you know, she's a little cute little belly. You know, it was more than a cute little belly. It was a cute little belly, but it was also, you know, what society deemed as morbidly obese, which I hate that word, which that word is changing, by the way. They're using a different word. They're trying to get a different word because of the stigma around that word. But anyways, so yeah, I struggled with my weight, with self-esteem, with just confidence overall. I had such a low voice. My own internal voice that I just relied so much externally on others. I would say, that just went right into my 20s as well.
Yeah. And you shared, she shared her, I was here for your first time, right? Like publicly was through like your own publication, correct?
Yes.
So was that like, well, we'll talk about that a little bit later, but like, how was that, process of like being like, okay, this is who I was and this is who I am today. Like, how was that journey for you?
You know, it's like things come out of that closet that you thought you cleaned out until you're sitting there and you're facing it and you're, you know, I was typing it, like writing out this journey of, you know, where I was and how I am, where I got to where I am now, and the healing and the freedom of sharing and all this. And tears, it was intense. I cried I don't know how many times during that process. And then I wasn't myself for a little bit after that. And I didn't put two and two together till later. But it was several weeks after where it's just, I was in my feels.
Yeah.
So as much as I was like, I'm ready, you know.
You'll never be ready.
I was also like, am I? Like, do I have to be? And I wear my heart on my sleeve. Like, I'm not a person of secrets.
Yeah.
Like, hey, let's talk. We can talk about whatever it is. We can talk. Like, I'll share my story. Let's talk. But in this level, at this degree, where, you know, you could be criticized, where people could really formulate an opinion, that's where I started to get those little insecurities. And then the little stuff that was in the closet, there was still some stuff there.
Yeah. Even though you are a therapist.
Yeah.
And you have a therapist, I know, that you work through things. And I feel like that's the part of like healing that I have even understood. It's like, it's a long journey, you know, and it's going to have its ebbs and flows. And it doesn't mean that you're going to like be going back to who you were. It's like, no, you are a new person today, but there's still like marks there that like that can trigger you, things that like come up. And so when you shared your story and I read it first, I loved like you being so vulnerable, and I loved the people also that you had, other people that share their story. And so a part of it that I saw that I was like, wow, like you shared that it's like you were trying to hide that you were fat, and like you were like, I was trying to like just not be fat, and like everything revolved around that. So then you use like comedy and you use like other things to kind of like masked that. So can you share a little bit about that and how that showed up?
You know, I worked tirelessly to not get caught being fat. Mm-hmm. Tirelessly. And I'm using the word, and I want to be cautious because I know that's such a trigger word. Mm-hmm. And it's actually a word I don't let my daughters use that word. It's like, we don't describe people as fat because it's such a hurtful word and it's so used against people. But I used it against myself. So I'm sharing my story and that's why I'm going to mm-hmm. use it very openly. Mm-hmm. But I do want to apologize to anybody that's listening because it's a trigger word. But I worked really hard to not get caught being fat. And how I did that was being really funny. You know, and it was something natural for me, and it's still part of my personality. You know, I was voted most likely to be a stand-up comedian in high school. Like, I was just silly. Mm-hmm. And I worked really hard to just, you know, if they, looking back, of course, you know, this wasn't such an active thought, but like, if I'm silly and funny, they're going to see that. Mm-hmm. I wore baggy clothes. Mm-hmm. I don't think I can't remember a time where I actually wore like shorts comfortably. Mm-hmm. I think maybe sixth grade was the last time I ever really, and still, mm-hmm. ever really wore shorts. Mm-hmm. And I wore baggy clothes. And then under my clothes, so at the age of like 12, I had body shapers. Mm-hmm. And every single day I wore them. People didn't know, mm-hmm. you know. And if like my shirt would go above, anyway, like above my belt line, it was like, did anybody see anything? Could they have seen my belly? Could they have seen, you know, my little shaper? Mm-hmm. I would have just died inside. Yeah. I didn't go to anything that required like a pool party.
Yeah, like it's not happening.
Not happening. Mm-hmm. Oh gosh, not happening. Mm-hmm. To this day, actually, mm-hmm. I still get like, wait, pool party. You know, I actually got invited to one yesterday. I'm like, all right, well, I'm hanging, but I don't know if I'm jumping in.
You said I'll be by the side.
I'll be hanging. I'll be like, woohoo, oh right outside. Goodness. But I'm not necessarily like gonna, you know, jump in and like. So, yeah. So it was just something mm-hmm. that I always was aware of constantly, even where I sat in my classroom. You know, if we were going outside, it mm-hmm. was just constantly in the front of my mind.
Yeah. And were you kind of like shamed through like your family? Like, how was that? Because you were how you said that you were, you know, gaining weight and you were like that, like you're pretty much your whole life. So how was that dynamic with your family? How did they talk about body? Like, how did they talk about you, like growing up?
So tough. It's tough because, you know, I think that I have healed and forgiven the people in my life that really didn't do the best job at teaching me body positivity and to love mm-hmm. myself. It's not that they taught me to hate myself, but how they discussed bodies and what how people will see you and perceive you mm-hmm. Was quite negative around being overweight.
Yeah.
So there were many messages that I heard that, you know, you won't be respected as a professional if you're overweight. So, you know, I was going to be the attorney. One of the careers was going to be an attorney. It's like, well, when you're in front of a judge and you're, you know, overweight, you're not going to be taken as serious. Mm-hmm. You're never going to find a boyfriend that way. You know, if you want to have if you want to be with a really good guy, do you think he's going to want to be with someone that's super overweight? Mm-hmm. And those were kind of the messages that I received. Mm-hmm. And it was also in my culture. It was also in the, you know, I joke in the magazine about being a geriatric millennial, mm-hmm. you know, because thin was in, and it wasn't like the healthy thin, you know, it wasn't like just.
It was like anorexic thin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was where it's like the bones are popping out and, mm-hmm. and that wasn't me. And that wasn't me. So it was a just constant reminder. Mm-hmm. And even when I would eat, mm-hmm. you know, I would be told like, hey, don't finish your food. Never finish your food. Women don't finish their food. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I want the last bite of Alfredo. Let me have it. Yeah. It's so yummy. Mm-hmm. And it's like, don't finish it as the plate is being taken away from me. And I'm like, no.
Oh my God.
So I would hide. Mm-hmm. I would hide when I would eat. Mm-hmm.
Did you struggle with binge eating, or was it what kind, like, did you ever kind of figure out like what was the core of what, how that started for you?
It wasn't that I would sit and just eat all these calories. Mm-hmm. It was just throughout the day, I think it was anxious eating. Mm-hmm. And I was just rewarding myself constantly. Mm-hmm. You know, I had a lot of, you know, the low self-esteem, and I moved around a lot as a kid. And there was a lot of distractions. And I think that where the attention wasn't on me. Mm-hmm. And I think I was constantly rewarding myself, you know, because it's compensatory mm-hmm. behaviors.
Yeah.
So every time I'd have a cookie, you know, all the fun little, you know, lights were light up mm-hmm. in my brain, you know, all the good feels. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, so I think yeah. I constantly rewarded myself mm-hmm. and just compensated for the things that were going on around me.
Yeah. And I asked that just because I've shared on here about like my own struggles with like being overweight as a child. And I, over the years, I figured that it was like through my own trauma that was kind of how I was coping and like my anxiety that I had, but I like had no language for that. And so then I'm like, wow. And then I went to the other extreme of like not eating and like having a really bad relationship with food. And so I felt like that was kind of like you're just, those are all symptoms sometimes. And at least for myself, sometimes for myself, it was like those are symptoms of things like where that were way deeper than that, you know. And so it's interesting how like over the years, you know, that causes things or like we look different and all of that, but there's still like that like inner child that it's like they had needs and they had other maybe just desires or they wanted to really speak out about something, but like they were never heard. And so we're masked and being like, oh, you're just so, you know, irresponsible or like your body's changing. It's like, that's not really what it is though, you know? And so how was that kind of journey for you with, when, you know, getting through high school? I know we talked about boys, like, you know, when we talked, it was like, you know, you were like, I want to be, you were like boy crazy. So how was that?
Oh, so boy crazy. And I think that, you know, I was boy crazy, but I was also one of the guys, you know? So mm-hmm. I think I was able to really just hang out with them mm-hmm. and be funny. And I would still flirt, but because mm-hmm. they didn't see me, they saw me as one of the guys and not like a potential partner, mm. they would just be like, JoJo's so funny. And I'm like, I love you. Mm. Like, marry
I'm obsessed
me.
With you.
Like, did you just put your arm around me? So I would say, I would make jokes like, God. You know, they'd put their arm around me. And I'm like, are we having a moment? Is this fine? Like, just joking. They'd be like, hook me up with your best friend. Let me tell you, you know, like, and then I'd be like, sure, I'll hook you up with my best friend. And then I would even, again, I would be mm-hmm. so open and honest that it could be me. But sure, I'll hook you wow. up with my best friend. That's fine. Mm-hmm. And I had really beautiful people around me. Mm-hmm. I had a beautiful, and my sister's beautiful. And, you know, and because I was so easy and approachable, mm-hmm. I was the fixer-upper. Mm-hmm. But I never got fixed up. So it's fine. Mm. But yeah, it was definitely a reminder, constant rejection.
Yeah. And that, like how you're saying, is like the wanting, it's like you want it, but then you're like, this messaging of, well, if I was skinnier, and you shared that too, it's like, when I get skinny, I will blink. Like, I will have the guy, I will have mm-hmm. this, I'll be able to wear that, I will be able to start, like, living my life. So, like, what was kind of the pivotal point that kind of changed your life in a different way?
I had so many moments of just being tired of where I was. I never, ever accepted it. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. There are people that are happy with their bodies and, you know, plus size. And they not only celebrate it, but they get celebrated as mm-hmm. they should. This was my experience where I had a lot of people. There were people that shamed me around me. Yes. Mm-hmm. But I was my worst critic. Mm-hmm. I absolutely, absolutely was. So for my experience, I was so miserable in my body. Mm-hmm. Should I have been? No. Do I wish I would have had a better body image? Absolutely, but I didn't. So I hated everything about myself. And I know you asked me about, you know, like what was that pivotal moment, but I just remembered, like as I'm sitting here, I was in, I think it was 10th or 11th grade. I think, no, 11th grade. And I had made some friends. Again, one of them I had a big crush on, and he was like in love with my cousin, who was drop dead gorgeous. Oh, mm-hmm. He should have been, because she was just perfection. And he came over with a friend I had met. This was at another state. I had moved across the country, and they had come over to say bye because I was going to move. Mm-hmm. And they were in my room, and I had gone to get something and come back, and I saw him looking at my I like a little vanity. Mm-hmm. And on one attempt to make myself lose weight, I had written myself the meanest, ugliest notes that you can think of. notes that were like, you're so disgusting. Like the meanest things you could tell someone. I'm so sorry for that young girl, that I did that to myself. And I saw him look at it and I just died inside. He didn't address it. I didn't address it. But hello, I loved him. I'm like, mm-hmm. you know, I loved him, you know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and just knowing that he saw that, that those were my inner thoughts. So that's mm-hmm. how I tried to get myself to lose weight, was to be mean to myself, to tell myself, to look in the mirror and to say, is this what you want? You're disgusting. That's how I talked to myself, you know. So I think I had many moments where I was tired of that. And I did live, like you said earlier, I lived in the moment of like, when I lose weight, mm-hmm. you know, I'm going to go to Six Flags mm-hmm. and I'm going to, you know, do this and I'm going to do that. Mm-hmm. And I just had a list of all the things that I would do. Mm-hmm. So I think it was a moment just being in my 20s and going, I don't want to die. Mm. I don't want to, you know, have to buy fabric to be able to wear the outfit I want or to, mm-hmm. you know, all the dresses at the time, things mm-hmm. have evolved a lot, yeah. you know, as far as like plus size clothing, but I would have to go in the like, you know, the grandma section, you know, to
yeah,
like.
The outfits were terrible.
Man, I got some pictures.
I'm not laughing at you. I'm not, I promise you. I funny. Just know that's like my, like, oh terrible. My God. I just know that that was even like in the back, it was like in the back of the store or like it was like a whole, I don't know. It's just that during those years, you know, because I'm a 95, so I am like in that, I would say like the last millennial towards that. But I remember just like, it was just not normal. It's like you had to, this was beauty. This is who you were. This is what beauty looked like. Mm-hmm. And that was it, you know? And so how was that then for you? Because there was a change. So when did you make the decision to make a change?
It was, I had gone to an informational meeting for weight loss surgery. Mm-hmm. Didn't tell anybody about it because of opinions, and it was just not talked about. It was it was talked about, but it was still kind of like there was shame around mm-hmm. it, like you had weight loss surgery. Mm-hmm. So I went to a weight loss surgery informational meeting, and I'm like, I'm going to do this. I didn't have any money. They didn't take insurance, but I was going to figure out a way mm-hmm. to do it. And I took out a credit card and at a very young age, a credit card. And a student loan.
Really?
They've tightened up on student loans. But yeah, I did. I went into debt for it.
Mm-hmm. And what was your like outside voices during that time? Was that just something that you're like, I need to do this for myself? I'm going to do it regardless? Or it was like other people encouraging you? Like, how was that?
The voices I had around me were like, you need to lose weight. You need to lose weight. You need to lose weight.
And you had tried. You had tried so many things.
Many gym memberships. Yeah. Jenny Craig, I did the cookie diet. They're not real cookies. I did the Atkins, which is now like a keto, mm-hmm. Multiple different diets, diet pills, I had got diet pills like at a young age. Mm-hmm. Like a doctor gave me diet pills at like mm-hmm. 14 or 15. Mm-hmm. And I just was constantly failing at every attempt. Mm-hmm. So I finally felt hope for the first time, and I did like it was quick. I went through with it rather quickly. Mm.
And how was that recovery? How was through that process? Because I know people don't talk about it. So first I want to say that I know that surgeries getting which that's under what category when you say surgery? Because I don't want to say like.
The gastric bypass is a medical procedure now.
It's a medical procedure. Yeah. Okay. So they're all.
But right. I think before it was considered just elective.
Okay.
Like an elective cosmetic, I guess.
Okay.
And that's why insurance didn't cover it. But then they're like, no, this saves people's lives.
Okay. So that's the way you did get it though, right?
I got the sleeve gastrectomy, which is a form of like a gastric bypass, but it's not the full bypass surgery.
Okay.
And I went through it silently because I did seek advice from someone that was influential in my life at the time, and someone that had a very big voice and a lot of confidence. Mm-hmm. And when I tell you they strongly encouraged me, it was like I didn't have an option. It was a strong mm-hmm. encouragement. Like, you share everything, JoJo. Why mm-hmm. do you have to share this? You mm-hmm. share, you know, wear your heart on your sleeve. Awesome. That's great. This is a medical procedure. People need to know about what you do mm-hmm. medically, which they don't. But it just wasn't true for who I was. Mm-hmm. Like, I am a very social person. And I was going to, you know, when you lose over 100 pounds in front of people, people do ask questions, mm-hmm. and I wasn't embarrassed to have the surgery. Mm-hmm. It was now it was later that shame built because I hid that from people. So much of me sharing about my being overweight and my weight story and then having the surgery, that was more freeing to free that little girl that always hid being fat. So not sharing the story was also her hiding. I silenced her whole life. And I have to speak in the third person because I've changed and I'm a different person from there. But I can't ignore that was who I was. And so much of who I am is because of that precious, sweet, little chunky girl, you know? It changed me. But hiding it was the worst thing I could have done. I didn't have the same support. I didn't have support. You know, I did have my immediate family, but to go now out and not be able to, it was really hard. I didn't do my research. People didn't talk about it as much. You know, let's say if I ate one bite too much.
Yeah.
You were in pain.
I have been in therapy on and off for the past few years and have embraced looking for help when I need it. I have found so much support with questions on dating, family dynamics, and how to set boundaries, as well as even healing my childhood trauma. Therapy has been life-changing for me to be able to talk to someone about things that we all go through and gain tools by professionals to help navigate life. That's why I'm excited to tell you about today's sponsor, BetterHelp. BetterHelp's mission is to make therapy more affordable and more accessible to us all, so you can even do it from your phone or your computer. BetterHelp is a platform that makes finding a therapist easier because it's online, it's remote, and by filling out a few questions, BetterHelp can match you with a professional therapist who has years of experience helping people in as little as a few days. It's easy to sign up and get matched with a therapist today. Follow the link betterhelp.com/beautymarkspodcast. By clicking that link, it helps support the show, but it also gets you 10% off your first month of BetterHelp. So consider online therapy from the comfort of your own home with BetterHelp. Better, H-E-L-P. Click the link in the description or visit betterhelp.com/beautymarkspodcast. Thank you again, BetterHelp, for supporting this podcast. Now back to the show. So with your journey, it's like you were kind of going on that by yourself and just trying to figure out like how to navigate in your new body, but also in the way that your eating patterns, in the way your body was changing. And so what was that doing to like your self-esteem? Like, was it a good thing of the losing weight? Like, but then were you still feeling shame about the losing weight? Like, how did you handle that?
I think that the fact that I couldn't share just made it worse because I wanted to talk about it. I wanted to say like, what is going on with my body? Your mind doesn't catch up. My mind was, and at times, and then still, you know, that heavy plus size little girl. And you look in the mirror and you literally have to do a double take. Like, is that me? I didn't get hit on ever. Ever. And I remember the first time getting hit on, and I thought it was like some mistake. Do you need to know where the bathroom is? Like, why are you getting my attention? You want to talk to me? What? It was, and then just seeing people's reaction or being hit on by, let's say, guys that, so I would have, you know, like I said, I was boy crazy, so I had a crush on everybody. So just let's say someone I did have a crush on in the past and they came up and they just looked at me different. They talked to me different. I wasn't invisible anymore, you know, if I was, you know. So it was like, hey. And I'm like, that's a different hey.
Yeah.
That's a hey, hey. That's like, the hey I waited for my whole life.
Yeah,
I don't want you now.
Yeah, that's powerful. Yeah, that is empowering. Is. When you're like, actually, sorry,
nah,
next, yeah. I'm actually good. But that's actually something that is an unpopular opinion. Do you think that people treat you differently being skinnier or being overweight?
1,000%.
Why?
So it from different angles. Men treat you differently. I would notice just more chivalry, you know, if you want to call it that. Just a little bit more, oh, let me get that for you, you know, just completely different. I was treated like a lady, if you want to call it. So women treat you differently too.
Why is that?
Because women are catty. But I never knew that world because I was never a threat. So I was always the best friend. Mm-hmm. So my friends were gorgeous and I knew how to do makeup. And I'm like, you know, they're like, JoJo, fix my eyeliner. And I'm like, come here, I got you. And
you were a girl's girl.
I was a girl's girl. Mm-hmm. I'm like, if you look good, I look good. Mm-hmm. Let's go out. And I was not the prettiest one out of the group. We'd all go out. I was never the one that was hit on. But, you know, and of course there were moments. And if it did hurt me, it was not because they got hit on. It's because I didn't. I never looked at it. I always thought, you're deserving of love. You are beautiful. Mm-hmm. Of course. It was like, you're hit on. Mm-hmm. Mine, it wasn't a reflection. She shouldn't get hit on. I'm prettier than her or I'm better than her. It was never that. Mm-hmm. In fact, I would even tell myself, listen to the narrative. I would say, you know what? A really amazing guy deserves to have a partner that can go to the park with him and can do these rides, let's say at a theme park. So why should I expect someone to settle for me? That's what I would tell myself. So it's almost like I pitied the guy before he was even in the picture. It's like, you know what? Let me not do that to that poor guy. I don't want him to be embarrassed of me. So it's like I accepted that. Mm-hmm. But women, the moment I lost weight, the shift happened.
Mm-hmm. It's like you're actually like pretty and you can get guys too. And it's like the insecurity that comes out of that.
It was so weird.
Yeah.
I did not, because I was a girl's girl, you know, because I was the safe friend, I guess, you know. I was the wing woman. Oh my gosh.
No, I mean, I wanted to talk about this because I know, I believe that's true. People, if you haven't experienced being small, you know, like thinner and then changing weight or gaining weight or losing weight, like I feel like then you really don't understand it. But when you've gone through it, it is a hard thing and a hard reality. And people say, oh no, it's because like it's just the way that you show up, or like, you know, now you're like attracting. Like, I'm like, no, but like if your personality doesn't change, if everything, the only thing that changes is your body, then it's pretty physical, because your physical changes, then it's like people are like, oh my god, like you look so good. It's like, well, I was still the same person back then, you know. So that is hard. I went through a process of because of when I was younger that I gained weight, but then I lost it, right? And then I gained weight again. So then that triggering of like that child of like not being liked, and then when I lost weight, then it's like I was liked. And so then when my body was changing and I was gaining weight, and I would be like, oh my god, like I'm seeing like a whole nother world, and I hate it. Like I hate it, because I'm like, I don't see people that way. Like I don't see people or ask people like, oh my god, like you look so great, or like, you know, like I just don't. That's not the way that I, because I've been on both sides, you know. So it is a hard reality, you know, when you're like, why does it work that way? You know, because even for guys, I don't look at guys that I'm like, oh my god, he is so like overweight. And then it's like, if he was to lose weight, oh my god, he's so hot. Like, I just don't see men like that. And so, do you get what I'm saying? Like, it's like your own perception of people. You just don't think that people would do that to you, because you're like, that's kind of mean.
And people are mean.
Yes. People can be mean. Yes.
People can be so, so mean. And I know it's a reflection of who they are. Mm-hmm. It's not you. Mm-hmm. But it starts to just add up and add up. And then you start to believe it. Mm-hmm. And then your inner voice is just what everybody else's voice is. Because when you have low – that's pretty much what low self-esteem is.
Yeah.
You know, really thinking of yourself negatively and relying on others. It's like secondhand validation.
Yeah.
Someone else likes me, then I'm worth it. Mm-hmm. You know? So with the weight loss journey, you know, and getting to a point where it – I would say it took me a solid 5+ years to kind of just gain some footing in who I was. Mm-hmm. And then another 5 years after that – it's been 16 years. But it's still in it, and I'm still in the process. I'm still in the process of figuring that out, because we look differently at different times, you know, after we have a baby. You know, we look different. And then just people around us and situations in our lives change, you know. Yeah. So it's like different stages. It's like – and things show up as well. Yeah. Like writing this article and having everything relating – in the magazine relating to the body brought up stuff that – I thought was gone. Mm. It's like
still there. What if you feel comfortable sharing?
man. Yeah, I don't mind. I think I cared so, so much still about what people thought. Mm-hmm. And because in my article, I have an open apology mm-hmm. to my family members that when they asked me, because I became an expert at changing the subject, I didn't want to lie. So I figured out a way to kind of tell the truth. Mm-hmm. So I would say things like, oh, my gosh, I'm barely eating, because you're barely eating when you have the surgery. Mm-hmm. So I had just so much fear around that public apology mm-hmm. and that, you know, what would they think? And the majority, no one really came to me after I wrote it. Mm-hmm. So I had so much, and I'm not upset at them. It's not like I expected them to go, mm-hmm. oh, JoJo, thanks for doing that. I wasn't expecting that. But I think it was just two cousins that sent me like a little DM, little mm-hmm. message from it saying that was awesome. Thanks for sharing. That was brave. Mm-hmm. And that was it. Mm-hmm. You know, so I had all this fear, mm-hmm. you know, that's the stuff that came up. So all this fear about people's opinion came right back up. That I was going to be judged and be like, really? Like she had to, you know, hide that. And it was like, I didn't have to. I did. I made a mistake. I'm a different person mm-hmm. than I was then. Mm-hmm. I was so young. And I was worried about what people would think. And I was highly encouraged not to do this.
Yeah.
I didn't have that strong internal voice. So stuff like that, you know, came back up. Mm-hmm. And also it was going to be about my body. So sharing my fears of walking into a room, whether I could fit in a chair or not, mm-hmm. that's very traumatic for a child. Mm-hmm. You know, I had polycystic ovarian disease. Mm-hmm. And I say I had because I no longer have it, according mm-hmm. to my OBGYN. He was like, you no longer have it. And I was like, all right. But that was something that is, and I won't even go into the details of that one because I could go on and on about it. Mm-hmm. But going through that and experiencing that as an overweight child, overweight mm-hmm. teen, mm-hmm. was really tough. So I avoided things about the body. So then now it was like, it's on a billboard now.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have to talk about it.
Yeah. And it's like, this is my story in the way that I want to share it. And it's like, you're able to like, how did you feel when you did that? Because I know I asked that a little bit earlier.
It was really empowering. Mm-hmm. To be able to share that. Again, it was difficult at first where it was like I can't believe I'm jumping. It was like that mm-hmm. skydive feeling where you're mm-hmm. just right about to just, am I really going to share this with the world? And it's like, mm-hmm. why not?
Yeah.
It is time. And my story can help so many. I'm mm-hmm. a therapist. And I am holding back on something that mm-hmm. could help others. Now, I did make a decision in 2013 to be open about my surgery. So mm-hmm. every new person I met, mm-hmm. You know, or that I was around, it wasn't like I hid it. It was something I was very open about. And it was more so those individuals that saw me when I first started, like mm-hmm. the loved ones that didn't know and friends that didn't know. Mm-hmm. It was like that's the part where that was where my freedom needed to mm-hmm. to come through. The healing was telling those people.
Yeah.
You know,
like to be like, this is what really happened during that time. What you were seeing was really this and just being like, okay with them knowing. Because mm-hmm. so after the surgery, I know that you're saying that you're proud that you got it. That's what you needed for yourself. And like, that was the best decision for you. Mm-hmm. So how did that change your life in the way that you showed up? Like, did weight loss solve all your problems?
Weight loss did not solve all my problems. Now, did it help boost some confidence here and there? It did. And I think it was more what things I could do. Mm. Not so much looks. Yes, that plays a role. It does. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie. But I would say just the fact that I could do things regular people could mm-hmm. do was like, oh, I can go on a ride. I can do mm-hmm. this. I don't have to be all paranoid getting on an airplane and things mm-hmm. like that. I think that was definitely mm-hmm. the most the best part about that. But how I show up now, because I want to make sure I answer that question, mm-hmm. Or how did that affect? I think it just allowed me to use everything that I learned from that experience and be an even better person. Not mm-hmm. because I lost the weight, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Does the way that you treat other people, would you say?
I think that having experienced what I did with such self-loathing mm-hmm. and just so much because again, with the polycystic ovarian and with the, you know, how my body mm-hmm. Looked and mm-hmm. the scars that I had afterwards, I still have the mm-hmm. scars from those body shapers and all mm-hmm. this. I think I have a level of empathy mm-hmm. extra for just people in general that are struggling mm-hmm. with any body issue.
Yeah.
Or deformity even, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
Because it's hard. Mm-hmm. It's the first thing people see when they see you. And like we talked about, people treat you differently. Mm-hmm. They have their own perceptions and their own filters.
Yeah.
So was I less, you know, I still showed up when I was, you know, at my heaviest. I think that I don't work as hard for people's approval. Mm. And that's how I show up.
Mm. Yeah. Like you just show up as like yourself. Like you don't have to do the extra things to. But did that take time to unwire yourself from being that way?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I'm still unwiring. Mm. I'm still unwiring. I am still figuring it out. I am still, you know, at times going, am I people pleasing again? Mm-hmm. And it shows up here and there mm-hmm. all the time. And it usually shows up when I have to prove myself in some way or another. Mm. You know, so it's like this, you know, hustling for love type of thing, mm-hmm. which actually a professor of mine coined the term like hustling for love. Mm. And I adopted that because it's like I really was hustling. It was like, love me for me, love me for me. And it's like, I was just as lovable and people loved me for who yeah. I was. But it's like, it was almost like I was seeing what was happening on the exterior as a sin. Hmm. You know?
Hmm. Why a sin though?
Because it was like I don't know if it, the Scarlet Letter, I don't know. Like just kind of like, just like this, you know, it was a reflection of how I didn't care for the temple of the Holy Spirit, yeah. you know?
Yeah. No, okay. I get what you're saying. Yes. You know. It's like certain things that it's like, then that means that you don't love yourself or all of that or honoring God and all of that.
Yeah. So there's all kinds of stuff. So not only yeah. – so the messages that we all receive is that yeah. obviously our formative years, you know, what we hear from our parents, our siblings, our personal experiences, our peers mm-hmm. all play a role. But also what we hear from, you know, our religious organizations that can be toxic, mm-hmm. That what we hear from TV mm-hmm. at the time, everything was how thin you can be.
Yeah.
So all of those things did that to me. Mm-hmm. You know, it was mm-hmm. It was a shocker.
Yeah. How do you see like yourself now? Like, are you able to like show up as JoJo, like, in a different way in your everyday life? And what do you do to like work through that when those other past maybe or the inner child voices come up of, you know, that are contradicting of like what you know today?
The inner child, that little voice comes in all the time. All the time. It's this, you know, an imposter syndrome kicks in, mm-hmm. you know, like this, you shouldn't even be here. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't be on, you know, whether it's on a show, a podcast, you know, mm-hmm. There's always little that voice that comes in mm-hmm. that I have to drown out. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I don't drown it out. Sometimes the voice wins. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I don't show up. Mm-hmm. I would say the majority of the time I do, mm-hmm. you know. And, you know, Maria, the one, she's mm-hmm. been on the show before. I know you know her as well. You know, she would always say, so, you know, who's speaking right now? Who's that? Who's showing up? Is that the fat girl? And she's, you know, she's going to refer it to the same person, you know, mm-hmm. and again, coining that using that word because that's how I used it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, she will try to show up and it's the fearful one. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I still have to tell myself, like, turn it off, mm-hmm. turn it off. It happens every time I'm at a pool or at the beach. Mm-hmm. Like we talked about earlier, I don't do pool parties. Mm-hmm. I don't do it. And it's just, that's for multiple reasons. You know, mm-hmm. I think youth group, you know, like all the pool parties they did in yes. youth group. I was like, no,
I hate them.
I hate them. You know, yes. I wore like a t-shirt and shorts mm-hmm. to the beach. I would think, you know, for many, many years, it wasn't until 2 years ago mm-hmm. that I actually went to the beach in a regular bathing suit.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how about like you're now, I know you're married and if you feel comfortable about sharing that of like, how has he been able to help heal those parts of like your kind of like security, your self-love? Like how has that been?
So, man, it is so important to choose a good partner. Mm-hmm. A partner will love those pieces of you that you thought were terrible and heal. Those little pieces of you that you don't even know needed healing. Mm-hmm. So every time, you know, to even 15 years later, when he says, oh my gosh, your body's perfect, or you're beautiful, this mm-hmm. looks great. Or if I'm looking in the mirror and I'm critiquing and I'm like, oh, I look whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, let's say the voice mm-hmm. comes out.
Yeah.
He literally will come behind me and he's like, this whole snack, this is mine. You know, he'll put his arm around me and, mm-hmm. you know, and compliment me and say things. And I will tell you that it is absolutely healing to be mm-hmm. with a partner that loves every bit of you mm-hmm. and doesn't ask you to change. Mm-hmm. You know, he's wanted my health to always be a priority because mm-hmm. I still have some health issues. So he'll, you know, talk about my health, but never about my weight. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I might slash his tires if he did, you know.
but he knows your story. So it's like, you know, it's like you're embracing all of that. And then that's so like loving to also be cautious of like whatever your story is, to be like, not going to go there because that's not the way. Yeah. No, I asked that because it's beautiful to hear. But I know like when you have struggled with like eating disorders, when you've struggled with your self-esteem, your confidence, like those things are triggering. And people don't realize that like them asking about your weight or them saying like, oh, you know, like you need to lay off the food or like not eat today. And it's like people tell you stuff that it's like how we were saying. And I've had partners also tell me that. And them not being cautious of like, that's my history. Like, we just don't go there. Like, that is so triggering. Like, that is a spiral waiting to happen, you know? So that's so loving to like have those people that know what you've, you know who you are today, but also know like, just don't go there. Like, we're not going to go there.
And there's things that he's going to say that is, I'm going to respond by on my own biases and mm-hmm. my own filters and my own insecurities. Mm-hmm. So he might say something like, are we really going to have that snack so late at night? Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean it's because so you don't get fat, but guess what I heard, you're gonna get fat if you eat that. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, so I could respond, mm-hmm. which I have in mm-hmm. the past been like, don't tell me what to do. Mm-hmm. You don't get to tell me what to eat or how to eat it. Mm-hmm. And you know, he's such a good guy, man. He'll look at me and just be like he's so confused. He's like, sorry, I'm just saying, because we talked about, you know, not eating late at night. And then I'm like, okay, my bad. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, you're right. You're mm-hmm. right. Because he doesn't, you know, he's just talking. He should be able to just say these things.
Yeah.
But I have my little soft spots.
Yeah.
So with time, you learn those soft spots. Mm-hmm. He knows what not to say.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Like, don't you tell me to get a salad. He knows not. Like, even if he's in the mood for a salad, I'm always like, why is he getting one? You know, but he's not gonna, you know, if he's like, we should get salads, it's not because he wants us to lose weight.
Yeah.
If I hear him say, let's get salads, it's like, that's my immediate thought, shut her up. Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm. You are loved because not only you love yourself, but he loves you. Mm-hmm. Stop.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Yeah. What do you have to say for someone that maybe is struggling with body image, self-esteem, you know, like, how do you start, you know, with working on that inner work? Because it's all inner work. As much as we can like, work on the external parts, it's all within us, even as our body changes. So what encouragement or like tips do you have for someone?
Before anything, if you are genuinely upset with yourself and you've tried and you've failed at certain attempts or things like that, I think the very first step is to forgive yourself. Forgive yourself for the things you knew that you still did, for the things you didn't know, because these disappointments, they build. Mm-hmm. And then you resent yourself. Mm-hmm. You lose faith in yourself. Mm-hmm. And it's like all those mean letters that I wrote myself, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, did that encourage me? Mm-hmm. It didn't. So more change can happen in an environment of self-compassion mm-hmm. than an environment with just toxic negativity mm-hmm. and negative voices. So when I tell myself, you are disgusting, you're not gonna, you don't, why are you doing this? What's gonna happen? Mm-hmm. If I tell myself, you know what? You're beautiful the way you are. Mm-hmm. What do you wanna do, Jojo? Okay, so you wanna live long for your girls. What does that mean? What does that require? Is the goal health? What is it? Mm-hmm. you know? So once you can get past the place of forgiving yourself, mm-hmm. you can move towards accepting yourself, mm-hmm. loving yourself. What does it mean? Mm-hmm. We focus so much on nurturing other relationships so that they can tell us we're worth it rather than nurturing the relationship with ourselves. Because if I'm best friends with you and you are awesome and I think so highly of you, if you think highly of me, then I'm worth something. Mm-hmm. That's secondhand self-love, mm-hmm. secondhand self-validation.
Wow. I've never, that's like beautifully explained. Like, yes, that's what we look for. It's like secondhand validation of things that we maybe don't believe about ourselves or we want to be true. But we're like, if someone just says it, like if someone just tells me that I'm doing a great job or I'm, my voice matters or like all of that, you know, and I can connect with that of times that I've been like, if someone just sees it and it's like, girl, like you're already amazing. Like show up as that, you know? But that self-love and self-compassion, that is so beautiful and hard to do. It's great when you're there, when you've already like experienced it. Like you're like, yeah, I love myself. But the journey to get there is hard. So what are the first things that you started with that like practical things that maybe you started doing to be like, okay, not going to go there?
I'm still in that journey, I think, of how I talk to myself and mm-hmm. self-compassion and all these things. I think the very first step, other, you know, once we notice these things, even mm-hmm. with forgiveness and all that, like I mentioned earlier, is to take mental note of just how you talk to yourself. Mm-hmm. How do you talk to yourself? Mm-hmm. And it's funny because my husband actually helped me notice some of these things because I would look in the mirror in the morning and I'd be like, oh my goodness, got ran over by a truck. You know, my eyes are a little swollen. But see, like, what's it called? My phone is like, that's not you, girl. Someone stole your phone. That face identification. They're like, it's like the yeah. inflammation. And I would say, he would say, why do you look, just woke up. Like, why do you say that? And I'm going like, oh my gosh, I am saying something mm-hmm. quite negative, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
I'm saying ill to myself. Mm-hmm. So noticing that. So I no longer do that in the morning. Mm-hmm. Now, do I look in myself in the morning and have a moment of saying ill? I do. Mm-hmm. Now, am I countering that thought? Yes. Mm-hmm. And just like with any lie that we feed ourselves, mm-hmm. we have to replace it with the truth. Mm-hmm. So instead of saying ill, I just woke up, I look disgusting or whatever. That's mm-hmm. a terrible thing to say to yourself, but it's things people tell themselves. You wake up and go, I just woke up. And, you know, you take care of your face if you want to do a little ice cube or whatever. Mm-hmm. You tell yourself you're beautiful and that I'm perfect the way that I am. Mm-hmm. It's okay. Wrinkles mean I smile. Mm-hmm. Wrinkles mean I, you know, I've been on this planet mm-hmm. and I know a little more. Mm-hmm. That's what they mean for me. For others, let me tell you, there's some wrinkly people out there that
they've been through it.
Maybe it's their cigarette use. I don't know. But
You're right.
It's not always wisdom, but yeah, I'm going to coin mine for wisdom.
No, I know that that's a part. It's like first is like telling yourself the things, but it's like working on the inner part of like catching yourself. I feel like it's such a good thing to like notice, like catching yourself the thoughts that you say. And also, like, I really want to, like, as we're wrapping up and with, like, your body, the way that we sometimes stop to wait to live until this is fixed is such, like, precious time that you're, I would say, wasting. Because sometimes we're so focused on this external part that it gets to do beautiful things, gets you up walking, and we walked over here, like we made our steps going here, and it's like the things that our body's able to give us even as we sometimes hate it and it still shows up for us, and it's still like we're up, we're here, we're going, you know, it takes us to where we need to go, it tells us and lets us know, hey, you need to drink water, you need to eat, like, you know, it's communicating. It's like, this is like your home, you know? And I feel like sometimes we struggle so much to accept that, you know, even on the journey of wanting to change our bodies, of like weight loss, you know, if you have certain goals, it's like, but there's so much love and so much just compassion that we can show to the home that keeps us going every single day, you know?
Yeah.
So I want to, like, I know that that has been a struggle for me personally. And I hear so many women that they're like, no, like, I'm not going to start living until I'm this weight, you know, or like until I look like this. And it's like, but what about your everyday? Like, until then, right? Because it could happen or it could not.
It could happen or it could not. So keep living like it's today, right now, being present. And we have to remind ourselves, because just in being living in a busy life just in general too, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
It's like, stop. I'm mm-hmm. here right now. And when you said that, this is home.
Mm-hmm.
That's deep. This is home. Mm-hmm. This is what you've got.
Mm-hmm.
So why do we abuse it? Mm-hmm. Why do we neglect it? Why do we ignore it? Like you said, it's telling you, I need water.
Mm-hmm.
That headache, what is it?
There's a I know, running on coffee. And
it's that, yeah, there's a whole joke that's like, yeah. Is my headache from dehydration? Is it from lack of sleep? Is it yes. from, you know, ABCD? It's like all these yeah. things. It's because what are we doing mm-hmm. to care for ourselves?
Yeah.
I'm still working on that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think I'm able to be so compassionate with individuals, because it's like, I have been there. I am there. Mm-hmm. You are me and I am you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're all the same.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. We're all on a journey. No one has landed on the destination of perfection. And we probably will never, and we'll never get there. So it's okay.
It's, and when, like, we see people acting like they've made it there, like, please turn the page.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe get ideas of, like, you know, what you want to do in your home. Take some ideas. Take some notes. Oh, mm-hmm. I like that color that mm-hmm. she has on the wall. Or maybe there, you know, people can give some good advice, you know, mm-hmm. not for that. But to strive to live life like that individual.
Yeah.
You don't know how what it took for them to get there, or what's real and what's not.
Yeah.
You
so
know?
So good. I'm sure that you encouraged someone today by sharing your story. And I'm so proud of you for doing it. Thank you for showing up for yourself, for that little girl. And I feel like that is so empowering to know that you're telling the story and the narrative in the way that you want to say it. So I hope that people can connect with you outside of this. Is there any last encouragement, anything that you want to share?
That it's okay. It's okay to not know. It's okay to not have it all figured out. And the moment that you open your mouth and say, you know what? I'm not okay. And I want to have a better grip on it. You will never fully figure it out,
because
mm-hmm. there's going to be a lot of unknowns.
Mm-hmm.
We're not the only ones in our stories,
mm-hmm.
you know? So if you open your mouth and you start with the, I want to start figuring this out. I want to mm-hmm. be better, or whatever it is. Like, that's the first thing you can do,
mm-hmm.
you know? So I encourage whoever's just trying to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Figure it out with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to a professional. Have a healthy group of friends around you.
Mm-hmm.
Who wants the best for you?
Mm-hmm.
Are you tippy-toeing around people? You know? So that's the first thing, is just open your mouth.
Yeah.
Your story is yours.
Mm-hmm.
It's precious.
Yes. I love that. So if you guys want to connect with JoJo, she is a therapist and taking clients. And she also has the Clarity Hour, which I will put all the show notes below, where you guys can connect with her. What is your social that you would want people to reach out to you?
So Instagram, at the Clarity Hour. You can also go to my website, theclarityhour.net.
Mm-hmm.
There you could connect with me anyway.
Awesome. Thank you so much, JoJo, for being on. And thank you guys for tuning into this week's podcast episode. I know that I've shared with you guys part of my story, but hearing other women that have struggled and sometimes, like, share a different perspective and kind of normalize things that we can sometimes think that we're like, am I the only one that thinks this? And so that's really why we do this and why we share stories like this. So I hope that you feel encouraged, seen, and that you know that you are not alone. And however we can connect with you, or if you need help, you can always reach out to me as well. And make sure to subscribe to this podcast, leave a review, share this episode with a friend, and I will see you guys next week.